Kansas City in Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome into The Drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well. We are happy, happy to be talking to you after a royal sweep. Let's head to the phone lines right now. Let's not waste any time. Let's be joined by our guy, Josh Vernier. I wanted to move his appearance to today. Tomorrow, we will get back to football, but today, it is the Royals day after they win the series against the Washington Nationals. Vern, how you doing, man?
I'm doing terrific. Big win today. Well, you don't want to say almost impossible, but even if the Royals don't win another game, that means the Twins need to go 3-1 down the stretch. That's going to be difficult. It certainly feels as if October is promised for Kansas City.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Let's talk about some of the positive things before we get to the offense. Let's start with the starting pitching. I understand that the offense has kind of sucked up a lot of the oxygen about this team over the last 10 days or so. They got excellent starting pitching this week against the Nationals.
Yeah, and they've received great starting pitching dating back to April. I mean, the blueprint, the formula for the 2024 Kansas City Royals has been well known dating back to April, right? Early on in the season, it was apparent that Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha were bringing more than just stability to this rotation. They were bringing quality performances, quality starts, All-star stuff, Cy Young award-winning stuff in the case of Seth Lugo. Pitching, defense, team speed. You know, we talked about that dating back to April. The question back then was, can they sustain this over the next 5 months? And here we are 5 months later, and the answer is a resounding yes. The rotation, second most innings pitched in Major League Baseball. The ERA just a shade above 3.5. That's the second lowest mark in all of Major League Baseball. Three of the top 10 best ERAs in the American League are Kansas City Royals, with Lugo, sixth lowest, Michael Wacha, 10th, and Cole Reagan's top 8. This team has been led by pitching, defense, and team speed all season long. That's how you got the first two wins in Washington, along with Bobby Witt Jr. just being the best player on the planet. Right? I mean, Cole Reagan, 6 innings of shutout baseball back on Tuesday. Michael Lorenzen, along with the bullpen, made it work yesterday. And, you know, Michael Wacha wasn't sharp, but he's still able to give you 5 innings of 3-run baseball and overcome a first-inning error as his second baseman drops a pop-up. So you had a little bit of everything over the course of this 3-game sweep of Washington, but I think what you've seen of late has been reflected in a majority of these 159 games already played.
Vern, maybe I missed it here, so I apologize. What's the status on Michael Lorenzen? Is he going to be okay? Have you heard anything?
Nothing today, but as far as yesterday, that was just a veteran, and he's one of those yoked dudes where you just know he knows his body inside and out. He's one of those muscle heads that you have to think knows everything that he ingests. So when he pulls himself out of the game yesterday, feeling that left hamstring getting a little bit tight, he does it not because he's banged up, but because he wants to save himself to come out of the bullpen in these final 3 games against the Atlanta Braves, make sure that he's available for next weekend or next week's wild card series. So listening to Michael Lorenzen, listening to Matt Quatrero earlier today, not all that concerned moving forward with Michael Lorenzen. Should be able to help this team moving forward.
We were just talking about this before you hopped on. If you had asked me 2-3 weeks ago, what's the Achilles heel for this team? I would have said the bullpen. Lucas Erceg was lights out over the last 3 days. Gave you 3 innings, didn't allow a hit, didn't walk anybody. He gave you 3 very, very clean innings where I've asked you, you know, if this team is up 5-4 heading into the 7th inning, what's the formula going to be? I mean, we can 100% rubber stamp it. Lucas Erceg, I think he can give you 2 innings. I mean, these were easy, carefree innings these last 3 days.
Yeah, without question. But 2-3 weeks ago, we knew that Lucas Erceg was the closer, was the big dog in that bullpen. The question was, and continues to be, everybody outside of Lucas Erceg, because I'm with you. Yeah, once tournament baseball starts, if the Royals make it there to the ALDS, Yeah, I want to see Lucas Urseg pitch multiple innings every single game, just like Wade Davis did, like Kelvin Herrera did, like Emmanuel Clase is going to do for Cleveland. Now, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the best of three wildcard series, it's going to be a tad bit more difficult to run a guy out there 3 days in a row and expect multiple innings out of him. Yeah, obviously encouraged with Urseg, but been encouraged by him really since he came to Kansas City. The question is everybody else? I still view the bullpen as the Achilles heel, to be quite honest. I mean, I mentioned it on the postgame show 2-3 weeks ago. To a man, to a woman, everyone in Kansas City said that it's already preordained that if the Royals, if and when they fall short in October, it's going to be because of that bullpen. Now, of late, some have started to sway and started to buy into what we've seen out of this bullpen of late, and understandably so. Angel Zerpa's retired 18 of the 19 that he's faced. John Schreiber spun 8 straight scoreless outings. Chris Bubich hasn't allowed an earned run in any of his last 9 appearances. You mentioned Lucas Urseg. We could talk about what Sam Long did just a night ago. Daniel Lynch hasn't allowed an earned run since he returned to the big leagues. No, the bullpen's been outstanding. 30 consecutive scoreless innings. Now, they haven't had many leads over the course of that 30 consecutive scoreless innings, and they also aren't pitching in the postseason. And come the postseason, you're not facing this Washington Nationals offense that has been punchless for so very long. So as I look towards October and I say, what's the Achilles heel between the bullpen and the offense? Well, the offense has at least 2 superstars in Bobby and Salvi. The bullpen has what I hope becomes a superstar in Lucas Urseg. So I still lean towards the 2 superstar aspect of this team, and that is the offense. So I still have my questions about the bullpen. They've been good of late, but other than Lucas Urseg, who do I want to see in a big spot? See, now this is what I keep coming back to. When you go to Tuesday's game against Baltimore or Houston, Kyle Tucker, the all-star outfielder for the Astros, or Gunnar Henderson, the all-star shortstop for the Orioles. Let's say they have 4 at-bats in that game, 1 of the wildcard series, and let's say Cole Reagans is your starting pitcher. Who do you want facing Gunnar Henderson in those 4 at-bats? I'm still one that says I want Cole Reagans taking up the first 3. You know, normally in the postseason, you don't let your starting pitcher face the heart of the lineup 3 times. I'm still a believer that this team's going to be led by its rotation. So I want Reagans eating up 3 of those at-bats. Lucas Urseg can take the 4th. There might be some out there that say, hey, give Chris Bubich that 3rd battle with Kyle Tucker, or that 3rd battle with an Adley Rutschman or a Gunnar Henderson. I still lean towards Reagans, Lugo, and even a Michael Wacha. I'm still all in on the rotation being the reason why you're going to win, or the reason why you're ultimately going to fall short in October.
Right now we're talking to our guy Josh Furner. At least for me, I think their best case scenario is this team needs to clinch tomorrow. So Twins lose, the Royals have it clinched. Saturday, they don't have to worry about. Sunday, they don't have to worry about. They get their lineup in order. They get their bullpen in order. And then heading into Tuesday, you got Reagans.
So you don't care, though. But you don't care about 5 or 6 seed, then?
I mean,
Houston, Baltimore, you don't care. Just, I want Reagans in game 1, wherever it is.
To me, this team is at a dislike. To me, their best chance of winning, it doesn't matter if it's the
Orioles. And I'm not saying that's wrong if that's how you feel.
No, 100%. No, this team's best chance to win is they need the weekend off. You need 3 games to get an Urseg back right. You don't need Reagans to pitch on Sunday. And you got Tuesday, you got Reagans, and Reagans steals game 1 for you. And it doesn't matter if it's against the Orioles or against the Astros. All right, we have a 1-game advantage here. We got 2 games to win 1. You're right. Ideally, I would love for this team to play the Orioles. That's their best chance to advance if you were talking about a team. But their best chance to advance is a rested Reagans, a rested Urseg, a rested team heading into the wild card round.
Certainly a rested, well, certainly an available Reagans for game 1, an available Seth Lugo in game 2, right? That's what they need. Because, you know, man, I can't argue with you. Whether it's in Baltimore, whether it's in Houston, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a home run in the first inning, and that stadium's going to get awfully tight. Maybe not so much in Houston, because I have to imagine their fans would understand falling short of the ALCS once this decade. But in Baltimore, after their lackluster approach at the deadline, with their late season collapse, really, they had a chance of winning that American League East, but as you've noted, they've been playing really poor over the past 3 weeks. You go into Baltimore game one, Bobby and Salvi caused some damage in the first inning. That entire place is going to get very, very tight. That clubhouse, that dugout, you have to think on the home side is going to get, start to pucker up. And then Cole Reagans can go out there and absolutely eat. For as much as I want the Royals to, go for it down the stretch, try to get that 5 seed, I'd much rather face Baltimore than Houston. It's the same thing that A.J. Hinch is tackling right now in Detroit. Do we use Tarek Skubal, or do we hold him back for game one coming up on Tuesday? I think they're leaning towards the latter. We'll see what happens tomorrow, right? It all is predicated on Brady Singer outdueling Max Fried, or Minnesota falling tonight and then falling tomorrow when the Royals can fall ass backwards into the postseason. I like the idea of using Reagans in game one, but I understand why the Royals can't come out and say anything other than Cole Reagans is our guy coming up in the finale on Sunday.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. The Royals, they won all 3 games this week against the Nationals. Their magic number right now is at 2. If the Twins win or lose today, their magic number will be 1. So they either need to win or the Twins need to lose, and they can make the postseason and lock that in tomorrow if everything falls together. Let me ask you this question about the offense. Based on what we saw the last couple of days, is there any chance that we are out on the other side of this thing? I mean, it was bad. I don't have to give you the numbers. I scored 5 runs in 60 innings not that long ago. But their offense looked good yesterday. Their offense looked viable today. Is there a chance that we are out on the other side of this slump?
Well, I'll say this. Tuesday, game one in Washington, it wasn't just a skid. Those dudes were pressing. Those guys were choking. I mean, it was infecting Yuli Gurriel. You were seeing Salvador Perez with some awful swings, and not your classic Salvi awful swings, but your 2018 Salvi, your 2023 Salvi, where if I don't do the damage, damage isn't going to be done. So yeah, buddy, I'm expanding. Tuesday was rough. Yesterday really didn't buoy my spirits all that much. You only scored 3 runs, with 2/3 of them coming off of Eduardo Salazar, who, I mean, this guy threw 8 pitches and gave up 3 rockets, gave up 2 runs. You did most of your damage against one bad Nationals reliever. But watching today, I'm not seeing the same sort of pressing, gripping the tap. Outside of Freddie Fermin, Freddie still seems to be grinding in my mind, but big walk from MJ Melendez and Michael Massey in a big spot in the 9th inning, and then the vets do what they must do. The reason why a guy like Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham and Yuli Gurriel are on this team is for exactly what they did in big spots with runners in scoring position today. Frazier winning it in the 9th, Pham and Yuli putting the boys on the board in the 3rd. So up and down this lineup right now, here's what you're going to need. If you're going to go on any sort of an elongated run come October, you need the threat of power. For as much as we talk about pitching as the currency of baseball, it certainly is, especially in the regular season. But when you get to that tournament ball where it's, again, Lucas Erceg throwing 2 innings, it's HDH each throwing 2 innings, what you need in October are guys with big fly potential, guys like a Jorge Soler and a Adolis Garcia, guys that can, a Christian Walker, guys that we saw go off last year in the postseason. You need someone that can change the game with one swing of the bat. Obviously, Bobby and Salvi can do that. You need Massey, MJ, Renfro. You need some more power threats to emerge over the course of these final 3 games. Hopefully that happens against Fried, Sale, and whoever else you possibly face this weekend with the Braves.
Vern, what changed with the Tigers? Because this team was 10 games back of Kansas City. And now they look like the hottest team in baseball where, I mean, the comparisons are starting to be made. It feels like they are the 2014 Royals, that they got hot at the absolute right time and there is not a team in the American League that wants to play them.
Yeah, I honestly, I think they have a deeper pitching staff than the 2014 Royals. Certainly a deeper bullpen than the 2014 Royals. They didn't have, you know, 2014 didn't have the Cy Young Award winner in Tarek Skubal, but he's been great all year. What changed, in my opinion, watching him, is A, the execution from the bullpen. They have just been they've been the best in baseball here in the month of September. Now, don't sleep on the Royals, of course. Royals have been top 10 in Major League Baseball in the month of September when it comes to the bullpen. But, you know, Javi Baez, no longer with the team, no longer in the lineup, and you're seeing A.J. Hinch. Man, just everything he does is working. They're doing a lot like what Matt Quatrero and the Royals and the Rays and what these small market teams have done over the past decade, and that is using everyone on your bench, riding the platoons, riding leverage, using 4, 5, 6, 7 different pitchers, bullpenning. You know, what you're seeing from Detroit is what you've seen for the past decade and a half from Tampa, what the Royals are likely to be moving forward, a team that's using all 14, 15 position players, using a majority of your bullpen arms, and the players are going out there and executing. So I think A.J. Hinch deserves certainly a large amount of credit for putting the guy in the right spots, also given that dugout, given that bullpen enough confidence that those guys are excited about their late-game roles, about their pitch-hitting situations, about their limited opportunities out of the bullpen. It's the exact same thing that Matt Quatrero has done, right? Dairon Blanco excited to be that pinch runner. Adam Frazier excited to come off the bench for a big pinch-hit situation. John Schreiber, Angel Zerpa, ready to take the ball when called upon. So what you're seeing A.J. Hinch do of late really is what Matt Quatrero's been doing all season. AJ's relievers are just executing at a much higher clip than the Royals relievers really ever have.
Last question, Vernon. We appreciate your time. What's the status of Vinny? I saw that he was taking batting practice. Is there any chance that he could go in the wild card series?
Man, you hate to say that there's no chance, but, man, there's... And starting on Tuesday, you know, that would be, and you hate putting a ceiling on a professional athlete, because to go from an 11th round pick to a big leaguer to a guy that's still top 10 in the American League in RBI speaks to his tenacity and his work ethic and his determination. I'm not expecting to see Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup taking a big at bat until the ALCS at the earliest. But you know that gets the boys going. Right, you know that gets Vinny going, that gets everybody in that clubhouse going. It obviously has gotten the city going. I like the move. Bring him on the field. Let's take some BP on the field. Let's get it out there. Let's get the boys going. If you can hold up your end of the bargain, your number three hitter will return. That's a nice little boost, a la Kyle Schwarber back in the day for the 2016 Cubs.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. He is our Royals insider. The Royals, their magic number is 2, it would appear. I feel very confident the yes. Royals are going to the postseason. Thank you, Vern.
Say it with your chest, man.
The Royals are going to the postseason, Vern.
My man. I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. All right. Let me explain this magic number thing for some of you that don't know. I just want to explain it because maybe you don't know. That's why I'm here to help you. Because magic number really isn't something we talk about in football, you know? Don't really talk about a lot in basketball. It's more of a baseball thing. This is the magic number. The combination of Royals wins and Twins losses has to add up to 2 or better. That's their magic number in 2. So the Royals could win 2 games, and then it doesn't matter what the Twins do. They could win all of their games because they won at least 2 games. The Royals could lose their next 2 games. As long as the Twins' losses equal 2 or greater, the Royals will make the postseason. So it is a combination of Royals wins and Twins losses from now until the end of the season, that number has to equal 2. If it is less than 2, the Royals are in trouble. They're in trouble. I mean, something went terribly wrong. And then the Twins got piping hot down the stretch. They have to. So they don't even need the Twins to do anything. they could just win two of these next games against the Braves, and it does not matter at all what the Twins do because they got two more wins. Or tomorrow, I guess they could also today, the Twins could lose. So going into tomorrow, if the Royals win tomorrow, if the Twins lose tonight, the Royals will go into a situation tomorrow against the Braves, we hope. No, don't know what the weather's going to be. Where if they win tomorrow, they're in the postseason. That is the magic number explained as simply as I can. Now, the Royals do not have the tiebreaker against the Twins. So that is important to note. If the Royals and the Twins have the same record, then the Royals are not going to the postseason. But that would only happen if the wins and losses does not equal two or greater for the Royals. So I hope I explained that. That's the best way that I can explain it. Some combination of Royals wins and Twins losses have to equal two or more over the next 3 days. And as long as that happens, the Royals will make the postseason.
By the way, I'm seeing a lot of this on the text line. First and foremost, Tigers don't affect the magic number.
Really quick, I just want to also say with the Tigers, stop worrying about the Tigers. I don't know what to tell you guys. I know that doesn't sound good. The Tigers are making the postseason. The Tigers have the White Sox the rest of the way, and they have been the hottest team in baseball over the course of the last couple of weeks. So I get it. I understand why you would want to ask questions about the Tigers, and it is now definitive with the Mariners being eliminated from the postseason. There are three teams fighting for two spots: the Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins. Now, you guys have been following this enough to know which one of those teams, of those three teams, do we know is 100% getting a spot? That's the Tigers. That's the Tigers. Their magic number is also two. I'm going to guess they're going to just win two of their next three games. They got the White Sox. They're just going to go ahead and do the winning thing. I believe those games are at home, too. They're in Detroit.
That's my belief as well. Yeah.
So we've seen enough White Sox baseball to know they are not going on the road and winning two out of three against the Tigers. So I would not worry about the Tigers. Stop thinking about the Tigers.
The good news about the Tigers, and I agree with you, is if the Royals just keep winning, the Royals will keep the Tigers behind them. If both teams win out, it is impossible for the Tigers to pass the Royals. So if you want an optimism meter
there, it is far more likely that the Royals lose one of their next 3 days than the Tigers.
100%.
Based on opponent and quality of playing right now.
I mean, the White Sox are certainly the hottest team in baseball. They're on a three-game winning streak.
Okay, well, they're not hotter than the Tigers.
White hot. See what I mean?
They're not hot. The Tigers were 10 games back on August 11th. That is it.
I'll say this about, I'm getting a lot of this on the text line. Well, you guys think the Orioles are going to lay down this weekend against the Twins because they have the postseason locked up. Here's the other thing about the Tigers, about them being red hot. If the Orioles lose the Yankees today, the Tigers can catch the Orioles. Like, that can happen.
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, the Tigers being red hot has kept the Orioles' interest going. And if they lose in New York tonight, which it's New York, that can easily happen, they are facing three games with the Twins where they cannot lay down because they could feasibly lose the number one wild card spot, which would dramatically change the calculus for the Orioles. So I have no fear of them laying down this weekend against the Twins.
Okay, two questions on the text line. CDOT, what happens if they can't play in Atlanta because of the hurricane? I do not have the answer to that. I wish that I had an answer to it. I do not know what's going to happen in Atlanta. They have already decided that they're going to have a doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. I don't know what the plan is this weekend if they're unable to play in Atlanta because of the hurricane. I would guess that they try to find a neutral site to play these games. That's what I would guess. They are not playing those games in Kansas City. You cannot give Kansas City extra home games at this point, given how close the race is. You cannot do that.
The Braves race, too. I mean, it would affect both teams 100%. Equally, yes.
You cannot do that. So I don't believe those games to be at Kansas City, but I don't know definitively. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, what if the Twins stun everyone and win? Anything is possible. It is any combination that equals two of Royals wins and Twins losses. Any combination. So if the Twins win their remaining four games, the Royals then need to win two of their next three games, and they are in the postseason. I hope that answers your questions. I've done my absolute best to answer all of your questions, but that is the answer. So yes, the Royals don't even need the Twins' help, really. Just win two of three against the Braves. If you do that, you're 100% and you don't need to worry about anybody else. Take care of your business. You did that against the Nationals. Do that against the Braves. But if you lose one of those games, you need the Twins to lose one too, and you'll be perfectly fine. All right, coming up on the other side, speaking of the Twins, we're going to go back to Minneapolis. We're going to be joined by Henry Lake. We'll get his thoughts on the Twins that have been free-falling. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by our guy, Henry Lake. He is in Minnesota. He covers all things Minnesota sports. Lake, how you doing today, my man?
I've been better. I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. I got no complaints.
Well, you know what? The Twins could certainly be doing better. What happened to the Twins, man?
Man, this team can't hit. They can't hit to save their lives. They are, I mean, I don't even know what's past the struggle bus. They just can't offensively, you know, the first half of the season, they were inconsistent, right? I remember years ago when Josh Fernie would talk about the roller coaster with the Kansas City Royals. They were inconsistent on the roller coaster the first half of the season, and the second half of the season, the bottom dropped out. It just, it hasn't been good. And look, I know that Twins fans will look and they'll say, well, you know, Buxton injured again. What's new? Carlos Correa, him being out of lineup the majority of the second half of the season, that was a killer, you know, because he has far and away been their best player, and just not having him available has really hurt this team, not just offensively, but also defensively, but nobody else has hit at all.
Yeah, we had Dan Hayes on the show earlier today, and you could just hear the sort of disappointment in his voice and just the fact that, you know, your energy usually kind of coincides with the team that you are following. It really sounds like this Twins team has really been beaten down over the course of the last 3 weeks, and it sounds like the fan base is ready to move on. The Vikings are one of the top stories in the NFL, and basketball season is about to start, and you guys have one of the young stars in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the fan base is checked out. They, I mean, and look, you know this because I've said this to you many times when I was in Kansas City. Minnesota is the bandwagon state. They are not ride or die with their teams. When their teams are doing really, really well, everybody is all about that team. But when they are struggling, everybody's jumping off. And I was at the game last night. I'm headed to the stadium here in a few minutes. There's nobody showing up to support this team right now. Even though, you know, you're going to have a hope and a prayer that maybe something happens here at the end with the Tigers, which I don't see happening. Maybe something happens with the Kansas City Royals, which I don't see happening. I think you're going to be on the outside looking in. But it's all your fault. Like, you were in prime position to head into the postseason and easily, right, and basically contend with the Guardians to win this division again. But it just wasn't going to happen because you just haven't been able to hit. But, yes. To answer your question, yeah, everybody is deflated. Everybody's frustrated. And you could even tell a couple of nights ago, because they won last night against the Marlins, but on Tuesday when they lost the opening game of this series to the Miami Marlins, you could just tell right around that fifth or sixth inning when they couldn't generate anything, which runners in scoring position, they haven't been able to do anything at all this entire season. You could tell that the guys in the lineup were absolutely frustrated and deflated.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Henry Lake, just learning a little bit more about the Twins. Lake, was there a turning point for this team? Like with the Royals, the Vinny Pasquantino injury now was a really big turn for this team offensively. They really struggled to score since then. Was there that moment for the Twins?
No, I can't really say that. I can't make any real excuses. Now, clearly not having Carlos Correa, because remember, now he made the All-Star game, but he didn't play at all in the second half of the season until last week. That was the first game that Carlos Correa came back, was just early last week. So he literally has just returned since prior to the All-Star break. Not having him, that has been this had clearly a negative effect on the team. But I can't look at anybody else and make any other excuses. Like, Byron Buxton, it's not the first time that he's been injured, and it won't be the last. Other guys in the lineup, some of the young guys that have actually, you know, fared decent this year, Trevor Larnick, I think he's kind of upped his game this year. Some of the other veterans, you know, Ryan Jeffers hasn't had a good second half of the season. Christian Vasquez, catcher, has had a terrible time that he's been a member of this organization. Everybody else has not really played that well. I think the only guy that you look at and you say, this guy has exceeded their expectations here for the Minnesota Twins has been Carlos Santana. He's been that one guy. Royce Lewis, his performance in the second half, He's been non-existent. The one thing about the Twins here this season that you could say they've been good is their starting rotation, because most people thought that that was going to be the area where they lacked. You lose Sonny Gray, you lose Kenta Maeda, everybody believes the starting rotation is going to be negatively impacted, and that has not been the case. Now, it's been spotty with the young guys they've had starting, but they've been solid enough to win games. The bullpen, they haven't been good as well. So between the bullpen being bad and the everyday lineup being bad, that's the reality of Twins baseball right now.
Like, what do you make of the Tigers, who have been the hottest team in baseball? I mean, I'm guessing in Minnesota is kind of the same thing here as it was in Kansas City. We weren't really spending too much time talking about the Tigers. A lot of the conversation was about your team, the Twins. The Royals and the Twins felt very neck and neck for most of the season. And then out of nowhere, you look up, the Tigers sweep the Royals in Kansas City, and it's like, wait, hold on, we might have to insert them into the conversation, and it feels like they haven't lost since.
Well, you know how this plays out in sports, right? You know, you have that team that's the underdog, and they're in that game against the team that's heavily favored. But this team starts off good, and they've got a lead. And then the favored team, or the team that everybody expects is going to crush, they're just kind of like, they're not kicking in. And that team that is the underdog is starting to believe in themselves. To me, the Detroit Tigers has got confidence in themselves. They say, you know what, we honestly believe that we got a chance to do something special and make it into the postseason when nobody thinks that we're going to get there. And you could just tell that they believed, and they knew that they have a Cy Young award winning pitcher in their rotation. And so I think that's all that happened with the Detroit Tigers, and they're young.
That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. Lake, I hate to assume, but it doesn't sound like you're very hopeful in the Twins' chances on making the postseason.
No. I believe that the Twins will miss out on the postseason. I believe that in the postseason, I'll be rooting for you guys in Kansas City, and hopefully you guys can represent.
That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. Appreciate you, Lake.
All right, take care.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. I mean, the thing that I have learned the most is Royals fans and Twins fans, they got one thing in common. Boy, hope is low. Now, hope is definitely higher in Kansas City. You're the team that's coming off the sweep. So the morale is, I would say, the morale is back to normal in Kansas City. Royals fans always have that measure of skepticism and disbelief about things that is certainly continued. But I would say that things are back realigned with where they were before the Giants series. The Giants series was the low point of the season. They've had a couple of different low points, the Vinny injury. They've had a couple of different things. Man, them getting swept at home by the Giants and only scoring run. Monday was a bad day. Monday was a down day for everybody. But you know what? They did what they were supposed to do. They won these last three games. They're coming in hopeful. They're coming in optimistic. And you know what? It feels like everybody is back to normal, back to where they were, I don't know, last Thursday or so.
It does feel like nature is healing, but I'm still seeing, maybe I'm just too much of a positive person, and that's just the nature of the beast, but there is a lot of skepticism around Royals fans. The magic number being 2, and potentially 1 by the time we take the air tomorrow, because I like the Twins beating the Marlins is some guarantee, even though, for those of you that gamble, they are -250 tonight to win a baseball game, which is one of the higher favorites you'll ever see. But the magic number being at 2 and the Twins facing a playoff team has got to give people a measure of confidence. I know that if the Royals game does get played tomorrow in Atlanta, Max Fried is starting, and he's one of the better pitchers in baseball. But it's that time of year where you're going to face good pitchers. I remain confident, and my confidence, while shaken after the Giants series, remains strong because the Twins have been horrible. Any time you thought to yourself, man, the Royals are starting to flounder, you look at the Twins and they were worse before this last 7-game losing streak. The 7-game losing streak previous, you know who came in town to help the Royals get off the schneid? The Twins. They are playing some really bad baseball. So part of my confidence, not just the Royals have picked it up and started beating bad teams, it's the fact the Twins have been unable to pick it up.
Coming up on the other side, we'll keep it with baseball. Today was the last baseball game in the Oakland Coliseum. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I had the Oakland A's game on today just to watch it. I got a chance to go out to their stadium a couple of weeks ago. I saw them play the Milwaukee Brewers, and let me tell you that attendance was scarce. Certainly not the case for today. It was their last home game, the last professional sports game in Oakland. You guys know that the Raiders, they have moved to Las Vegas. The basketball team has moved across the bridge to San Francisco. You would think it's not that far away, and it's kind of far away. Like it ain't close to where it used to be before. And now the baseball team, they are going to play in Sacramento for the next couple of seasons, and we'll see what happens in Las Vegas. If you've been to Las Vegas, you know exactly where I'm talking about. The Tropicana, right across the street from the MGM Grand. They are imploding that building coming up in a couple of days, and the plan is to build the baseball stadium right across the street from the MGM Grand. But they don't have the money figured out. Like, how are they going to pay for the stadium? I imagine if you go to Vegas, you are going to be paying for the stadium. That's kind of how these things work. If you've been to Vegas, you're already paying for Allegiant Stadium. They're just going to have you now pay for that stadium as well. But just really sad for, I would say, a very important community in American culture. Like, a lot of things have been birthed out of Oakland, California, and for them to lose so much of their identity in a very short period of time. I mean, they have lost their basketball team, football team, and baseball team in, what, 8 years? Is that probably the timetable of it? Baseball team out of here. They've been in Vegas playing football for a little bit. They have built a beautiful new stadium across the river over in San Francisco. A lot has been taken away from that community in a very, very short period of time. The scenery today was amazing. They got 46,000 people out to the Coliseum to see the final game, and all those people are going home happy. The A's won earlier today. They won 3-2 against the Texas Rangers, so it was cool to get a chance to watch that, but just really sad what happened to Oakland, man. That it shouldn't have gone that way for that community. There were ways to fix it, and no one in power seemed very interested in fixing it.
I understand how John Sherman has sometimes gotten a bad rep in Kansas City as being the guy who just trying to take your money and get a new stadium, et cetera, et cetera. But there might not be a worse owner in sports than the A's owner. He has been angling to get that team out of Oakland forever.
100%.
And it was more than just, you know, tanking the team on the field, which he was also doing to drive down attendance. But he didn't get any legislation on the ballot to try to get, you know, a new stadium done. He turned down ideas, to my knowledge, of possible renovations to a stadium. He kept throwing out new and improved areas for a new stadium, which included San Jose, which anyone familiar with the Bay Area knows that San Jose and Oakland are not like, it's not like you're moving from KC Mo to, you know, the Northland. That's like moving from KC Mo to Topeka. Like, it is a hike from San Jose because of traffic and all those things. Ownership in Oakland is real bad. And today that community took an L, and it stinks for everyone. And the owner's going to get his way, but that it's a brutal, brutal business sometimes.
Yeah, no, 100%. So today was the final game for the Oakland A's. So we will see what happens to them.
Do you think sports are ever going back to Oakland?
No.
They don't have the NFL. They don't have baseball. They don't have basketball. You don't think they're ever going back?
I don't think they can get a stadium pass. I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, they couldn't get a stadium pass for three separate teams. If you can't get a stadium pass, I mean, the only way you're getting it is if you're paying for the fourth stadium. Now, they never really got the opportunity to keep the baseball team. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happened behind the scenes, but they never really got an opportunity to vote if they wanted to keep their baseball team. That owner, it was really like Major League. They were always angling to go to Las Vegas, and eventually they rounded up the money, they rounded up enough votes, and they figured out a way to get that team to Las Vegas. Tonight, we got Thursday Night Football. We have the Giants and the Cowboys.
You gonna watch that? Or you gonna
I'm
do something
so
else?
Tired of watching Giants Cowboys games. I'm serious. I'm tired of it. Every year, it doesn't matter how good either one of the teams are, we are always going to get Giants and Cowboys as a national TV game. I mean, it'll be on, but I'm not watching it. I'm not building my day, my evening around watching those two teams. Absolutely not. I'll place a couple of wagers. I'm not going to go too crazy on this game. I don't want to go too crazy on this game. I'll place a couple touchdown bets. I'll have it on as background noise, but no, I'm watching a movie today. I'd rather watch a couple. There's new documentaries out. I'd much rather start the Mr. McMahon documentary that's on Netflix. I'd much rather watch the Black Quarterback documentary that's on Amazon Prime. There's too much other stuff to watch to... I don't want to watch Daniel Jones play quarterback anymore. I'm sorry. It doesn't excite me.
Does that offense in Dallas excite you? I mean, they've quietly been a disappointment so far this NFL season. I know the Giants are worse, but, I mean, it's not like Dallas is something like, oh, at least I get to watch Dallas. They're not exciting at all to watch anymore this season.
No, I'm not excited to watch any of those teams.
That whole division stinks, if we're being honest. The Commanders might be the most exciting team.
The Commanders are fun.
They're fun.
The Eagles are fun. The Eagles are fun to watch.
They're like a chaotic fun.
I agree. No, they're fun to watch, though. I do enjoy watching the Eagles. I'm with you.
It's like a frantic energy. It's like, how is this happening?
Someone said, see, I'll be watching the Twins, the Aaron Hernandez show on Hulu is solid, too. I'm going to let the Aaron Hernandez show in before I watch it. I'm just too familiar with the story. I'm just too familiar with the story to catch it. Someone said, "Damn, C-Dot, you live in Missouri. How are you placing bets? I thought you lived in KC proper. I'm currently in Kansas. You could place the bets now, and then go home." I know. It blew my mind too. Yeah, no, it's crazy. But right now, I can place the bets that I think Brandon Cooks is going to score a touchdown, and then I drive home, and then I can't place the bet. Then I can just track the bets. That's kind of how it works.
You're telling me the bet doesn't become null and void the minute you cross state line?
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I know. It's crazy. Technology's weird, man. I'm telling you. It blows my mind, too. So that's why I'm here to help. I don't want there to be any uncertainty. I'm here to answer questions. All right. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully, you had a lot of fun today. I'm sorry we didn't talk as much football as maybe you would like, but the Royals are going to the postseason, so hopefully you understood. Tomorrow, we will get back to normal. We will get back to Red Friday. We will get back to Chiefs and Chargers. I will probably say one positive thing about the Chargers. You guys will call me Chargers Dot. You know what? We will all be back together tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.